So if you don't have one, it's fine. This isn't a pass-fail kind of a thing, so I'm just curious. How many of you have smartphones? If you have a smartphone, raise your hand. A lot of people. All right, so if you got a smartphone, leave them up. Now, if you know everything it can do, leave your hand up. Right. So I'm the same way. When the Cameron or Eliza's around, I inevitably learn something else that my phone is capable of, sometimes which it's even helpful. Which is to say, there are certain things I ask of my technology, but sometimes I just don't know the things to ask it that would actually be helpful. So I am kind of a generation where when I'm carrying around a laptop computer, in my mind, what I might as well be carrying around is a typewriter that also has the capability to get on Facebook, because that's about the two things that I would do with it. So I have learned recently over the course of the last year or so some things that were helpful. Forever we wanted to be able to record sermons, because occasionally somebody would say, is the sermon available anywhere? And so we'd want to try to do that, but weren't quite sure how to do it until it was pointed out that there is an app for that. So there is an app on the iPhone, which is over here recording right now. Maybe not the greatest quality audio, but it works pretty well. So you can record over there and you can tighten it up and everything. So I can use the iPhone for that during worship. My laptop, that's where I'll do the majority of the things that I have to write. So that kind of thing that I want to organize and save, it's all there in that computer. And then I've taken to utilizing this iPad more and more, because the thing that it can do that my Bible, if I had my actual physical Bible out here, if I put my fingers on the page and went like this, the letters would stay exactly the same size as they already are. They would not get a bit bigger. But with this, I can adjust that size so I can see what it is that I wrote down there. So they're all helpful things. But one of the things that came along as an issue, which I did not approach it as a solvable issue exactly, was, so if I have something, a document for instance, in my laptop, and I wanted it to be somewhere else, say here, that was a challenge. If I had the audio file for the sermon in there, that was great. I knew how to record the sermon, but it would be hard for me to make my iPhone available to everyone. Like that's not how most places, they don't put it on their website. Sermons available for you to listen to, contact the pastor and he'll bring his iPhone to your house. That's not how they do it. They usually just push a button and you listen to something. But how do they get from there to there? That's a mystery. So I did solve some of that. Like, I could move documents, but the way that I would do that would be really time consuming, or you'd have to kind of save one or figure out how to email it, and you email it to something else and you'd open it and move it over into a file. All of which is to say, I just thought that was how you did that. Until Charlie started working with me on helping with the website, and one day he asked me something along the lines of, do you AirDrop things? And it turns out my children aren't the only ones that can teach me technological things. I did not know what that meant, so I said no. And I had seen the word AirDrop as one of the options sometimes on a menu, but I stayed away from it. That's my standard procedure, is if I don't understand or know what it does, I try not to click on it, because it's probably not going to be a good thing. But in this instance, it was an amazing thing, because if I say I got a document in here and I want it in my laptop, it turns out I can set this right next to my laptop, click on AirDrop, and boom, it appears over here. And I click on one thing, and there it is, fully formed. I mean, it's like magic. It's wondrous. And once I knew this, I knew how easy it was to say, I mean, the only way it could be easier if I could say, phone, send that over to this iPad. And they don't have it doing that yet, I don't believe. But this is sort of the next closest thing to magic and it saves me so much time. And I would never not do it this way now. I wouldn't say, well, that's some newfangled thing and it may work easier and everything, but I'm not doing it. I would not do that. I would say, this is a wonderful gift to know how to do this, and I would never want to unknow this process. We have spent a good part of the summer focusing on discipleship. And by focusing on discipleship, I mean saying discipleship is a word that we use a lot within faith, within the faith community. We oftentimes use it without saying exactly what we mean by it. So what we tried to do was fill in what we mean by it and give us ourselves categories and ways to think about it. So we could say, where do I feel like I'm really experiencing growth, or where might I need to experience growth? And hopefully that was helpful. What I want to do is move forward from that so that throughout the fall, so basically for the next 8 weeks, with the exception of 1 week in October where, because we're blessed to have a pastor in the congregation, John Lentz will be filling the pulpit on a week in October. But outside of that, the other 8 weeks moving forward, we're going to be focusing on spiritual formation, which is another thing that I think is really important, but tends to be kind of vague. And it is, this is not brain science or rocket surgery. It's not really, really hard, and it's something we don't spend a lot of time maybe focusing particularly on when we talk about, what do we mean when we're talking about spiritual disciplines or spiritual formation? And so we are going to do that. And that, again, is going to begin today, and those will continue through, I believe, November 4th is when that will end. And if this intrigues you, so you've got a couple of weeks to think about if this is something I enjoy hearing about on Sunday morning, but that's kind of what I need, or if it draws you in a little bit and you think, I'd like to hear more about these things, get a little more practical with it, beginning a couple of weeks from now, I think, there's information on this in the bulletin, but we're going to, on Sunday evenings, have a study called Sacred Rhythms. That'll be our fall study on Sunday evening. And that's a weekly thing. It'll go for 6 weeks, and we'll go deeper into some of the things we're talking about on Sunday mornings. But what we're going to do is look at, in the context of worship, ways. And by ways, I mean biblical ways that people go about strengthening their relationship with God. I think that's something that if you're here on Sunday morning, that's probably something that you're interested in, strengthening your relationship with God. The things that we're going to talk about, excuse me, things we're going to talk about are things that can't miss. Like I promise you, they may vary between you. You may find some that work better than others, but in a way, it is like airdropping. If we know what the tool is, and if we apply the tool, there's a situation in which there's not a better thing than to be able to do that. And so these disciplines will have some of that quality to it, I hope. We want to expect that God is showing us something important here, and that's how to, one, fully experience God's love, and then second, having fully experienced God's love, how do we carry that out? How do we live as ambassadors of God's love? So we have Paul in the letter to the Ephesians today, and writing to the church in Ephesus. That's the letter to the Ephesians. And as he's wrapping it up, as he's winding it up, he has this section where he's talking to the people about building up their faith. About these are some strategies you can use to be strong in your faith, and to do it in the face of persecution, to do it in the face of temptation, to do it in the face of things that want to get in the way of your relationship with God. Gave them a strategy. And what he told them was they should put on the full armor of God. Put on God's armor. And I'm going to just go through bullet points. He said, put on the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on shoes to spread the faith. Get the shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the sword of the Spirit. And then finally, he said, pray all the time. That's the summary of the things that he told them to do. And the overall focus here is that Paul is offering instruction. Paul's offering guidance to do these things. To know God more. to know God better. And in order to do that, he says, you should put these things on, which is to say, you should wear God. Wear God throughout your life. And as we put these things on and as we wear God, we respond to the invitation, which Paul issued in the very first sentence. If you look at that scripture, the first thing he said was, be strengthened by the Lord and his powerful strength. So this is how you do that. Be strengthened by the Lord and his powerful strength. How? Put on the full armor of God. My suggestion to you is that when he says put on the full armor of God, what he's saying might be interpreted as practice the spiritual disciplines. That when we practice the spiritual disciplines, this is how we put on the full armor of God. And if you look at the sermon titles, each one of them for the next several weeks, we'll talk about things like solitude, scripture, prayer, honoring the body, self-examination, discernment, and Sabbath, and sees all of them as a way of thinking about putting on that armor, putting on the full armor of God, not neglecting these tools, not neglecting these things that God has given to us as ways of being in relationship with God. We wear God by getting to know God, by deepening our relationship with God. Now, the full armor of God idea is no secret. If you've been around church for any amount of time, if you were in church as a child, if you were in Sunday school, if you were at my church growing up, and you were in Whirly Birds or in Jet Cadets, you got full armor of God to death. Because it translates really well into flannel board. There's the New Revised, and there's the King James, and there's the flannel board version of the Bible. And flannel board's what we got when we were growing up as kids. And nothing makes a great flannel board presentation like being able to say, the breastplate of righteousness. And then you've got a guy standing there, and you grab the breastplate of righteousness, and you put it on him. So that at the end, this guy looks like a knight, you know, ready to go out into the world. Now, the idea isn't that we're going to dress up like knights, but that is a good way to visualize this. And again, it's not a secret. Nobody's been hiding this. It's been out there in the air. And if we're around church, if we're around studies, if we're around scripture, we're going to have encountered the full armor of God. Prayer, not a novel idea. Nothing new. You will stun no one if you go out today and say, the preacher told us we should pray more. People are going to go, that's the earth-shattering message you got today? You should pray? You knew that before you came. You knew that this morning, that prayer was important and valuable and a gift. So I'm not telling you new things. What I'm telling you is it is easy to stray from utilizing these tools. It is easy to know about them and yet to let it stop at that point of knowing about them. It is easy for everyone to do that. And I will tell you that because I will say it is easy for preachers to do that. Some of you have heard me say this before, but I always think this is an important thing to say because you probably would think, if anybody is remembering to read the Bible, if anybody is remembering to pray, that would be the preacher who that's what they do, is read the Bible and pray among the various things that they do. So back in the early 2000s, I'm going to guess it was around 2002, 2003, I read a study that had been done of preachers. And what it found was that preachers were not reading the Bible. And preachers were not praying, not cultivating a prayer life, and not cultivating a life in Scripture. And I knew it was true as soon as I read it. And do you know why I knew it was true as soon as I read it? Because it was like holding up a mirror. I was like, they're talking about me. And the reality was, what the deeper point they were making is that preachers were indeed going to Scripture, but they were going there the way that the seven dwarfs go to the diamond mine. You know, they were going there to get something to bring back because that was their work. and preachers were going to scripture because on Sunday mornings there was a congregation that was going to want a sermon. And so that was their scripture study, was their work product. Going to scripture and buying it a sermon, or going to scripture because you got a study coming up. All of which is great and ought to happen, but does not set aside the need for the preacher as much as anyone else to be reading scripture just to be reading scripture. Not to go find something that's going to help at work, but just to go find something that's going to speak to your life, because that's how God talks to us. And so I saw the truth of that. And having read that, made some serious changes in my own personal devotional practices, and about that time really began to hammer this idea, which I did for the remaining 3 years or so in Prestonsburg and have tried to do here constantly, but is to say we really need to be about practicing these spiritual disciplines, and probably to the point where maybe you're tired of hearing of it, but that is a foundational truth. And so what happened is, once I found a way to read more scripture, just like built in, I'm going to read scripture here, not for a purpose, but because this is what I do as a devotional practice. It was amazing how much it helped, how much it spoke to my soul, the difference that it made in my life. And it was as dramatic, more dramatic even, if you can believe it, than learning how to airdrop. I use that as an example just to say that it is that, it makes that much of an impact. It shows that much of a difference. I started to do it. And at that point, I cannot imagine what life would be like not doing it. It creates that need to be back there and to continue. Now, in the same way, it is not that I don't want to, and it is not that you do not want to put on the full armor of God. We would all agree that's a wonderful idea, and all those things have sound like wonderful qualities. It's not that we don't want to take advantage of every tool that God has given to us so that we can have the relationship with God that we want and that God wants. It's just that we are busy. It's just that there is an obligation that we need to keep. And once we keep the obligation, then we will do the spiritual discipline. Just that there's a book that I really want to read. And once I read the book, then I'll get to the spiritual discipline. It's just that there's this really awesome show that I saved on the DVR thing from the television, and I've been setting aside some time to spend with that. And that can't be a bad thing, and I'm going to do that, and then I'll do it. It's just that there's always some like thing like that that gets in the way. And What we know is none of these things are more important than our relationship with God. And yet, here we are. Here we are, and I think that for the most part what I've said is true, that we have this dilemma. And the answer is, or the question at this point would be, why? Why can we sort of know the thing we ought to do, and yet we find ourselves doing the thing that we don't want to do, as Paul might have put it? Paul has some important clues, and they're not hidden clues. These are obvious statements that are in this passage. He says, there is an opposing force to God. Paul talks like this. There is an opposing force to God. And what he does is he calls them tricks of the devil. So we tend not to talk like this a whole lot, but Paul says there is an opposing force to God, and there are these tricks of the devil. And then he talks about the forces of cosmic darkness. And beyond that, he talks about the spiritual powers of evil. Now, what he's trying to do there is not scare us or alarm us or make us want to go hide. What he's trying to do is make us understand why there's something we might so clearly want, and yet we find ourselves continually not doing the thing we've said we so clearly want. These things that he talks about, they do not come to us looking scary. They don't come and say, I'm a really bad, evil thing. If somebody came up to you and said, I'm a really bad, evil thing, you would not say, have lunch with me. Sit down, let's chat. You would run from that. You would move away as quickly as possible. They come to you as little things that don't appear to be much. They come to you as temptation to wear just a little less armor. That armor is taking up a lot of your time. It's a little cumbersome. Do you really need the breastplate of righteousness today? Maybe you can do without those particular shoes that will spread the gospel. It offers these things as suggestions because it knows you're hurried and it knows you're rushed. And so maybe you can do without a little bit. And what that temptation is the temptation to ignore building a relationship with your Creator. That's what that boils down to. The temptation that are these small things that seem to be offering easy solutions to save time or get around something are basically temptations to do something other than build a relationship that lasts with our Creator. So what we're going to do, beginning today, going again through about November 8th or 4th or so, is to take some time to work on the most important relationship we have. The most important relationship we have, the relationship between us and our God, the key relationship, the one relationship that can make all the difference. Together, we will unpack what the armor of God looks like, what these spiritual practices, disciplines are, what spiritual formation can mean to us, and together we will explore building this relationship. Thanks be to God. Amen.